good to see each and every one of you this morning. Turn with me, as Chris read it earlier, to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be only in verse 12 today. This one rule could heal marriages, fix friendships, and soften the hardest hearts if we would just obey it. This rule is often called the golden rule. You're all familiar with it. Did y'all know that there was a silver rule? By show of hands, does anybody ever heard of the silver rule? Awesome. I'm telling you something you didn't know this morning. So the silver rule says this: don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. The silver rule can be followed by doing nothing at all. Do not murder, do not steal, do not call your brother a good for nothing. You could be compliant. You could apply the silver rule all by just staying still. On the other hand, the golden rule can only be satisfied by taking action. It calls us not to just avoid harm, but to initiate good. The silver rule is kind of like a fence between you and your neighbor. Let's go to the spring for just a minute. It's planting time. It's time to break the ground up, and you can stand there at that fence and with your cup of coffee, and you look across that fence, and he's out there struggling away, trying to get the ground broke up and plant and get ready, and you're like, well, I didn't get on your property. I didn't do anything to you, but I'm just going to stand here and watch you work. The golden rule, on the other hand, is going and getting your keys. I'm just going to go with it. Going and getting your keys to that John Deere tractor and cranking it up and driving over there and putting a plow on the ground and dragging through and busting his ground up for him, helping him plant his seeds and everything else. That's the difference. One calls you to do nothing at all. The other one calls you to do something. The golden rule is a command for love, not a suggestion for truce. This is not just another rule to blindly follow. It's a rule that's actually ripe with benefit. I titled this, "The Rule That Could Spare You Countless Sorrows." We only have one verse, so let's understand the verse. Let's work through it before we move forward. It reads, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." Jesus begins with a phrase, "In everything, therefore." The first thing we see is that Jesus does not provide a bunch of exceptions and escape routes. What does he mean by everything? This is summing up his teachings at least since the beginning of chapter 5. Y'all been with me. A lot of y'all have been here every Sunday. We've gone verse by verse by verse, and it's been this command, live like this, do this. And he brings that all, and he sums it up in this one verse. What does the word treat mean? Not trick or treat. Poeo means to do, to make, or to produce. This is an action verb. An action verb. And that's why it's not passive. Jesus is literally saying, do for others the same that you want them to do for you. Do. Action. It demands that you produce goodness and sometimes initiate the path of grace in your scenario. He says the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets. What is that? It's the summation or the totality of the Old Testament. If you remember in Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus did not put the law and the prophets on a table and flip it over like he did the coins in the temple that day. Rather, he took all the law, all the prophets, and he completely embodied them and fulfilled them without breaking any. And therefore, he is the perfect sacrifice because he's the only one that has been able to do just that. He did not abolish them, he fulfilled them. This single sentence is the heartbeat of God's will for you and I, His people. If we could live this one verse daily, I think it could change every relationship that we have. But that's the problem, isn't it? This verse is hard to live. Amen? I'm not alone in here today, am I? We know the rule. The problem's not the rule. The problem is we don't live the rule. Me first. So I got three things for y'all today. I wanted this to be encouraging because I want to get better at it. And I hope this will encourage you guys today as well. If we want to follow the golden rule more consistently, our first encouragement is you know the action to take. You know it. If I'm confident in anything today, as I stand here before you, it's in this. I know exactly what Philip wants. And I think that probably applies to every one of y'all. If I went around and I asked you what you want, you'd be happy to tell me, and you'd be confident because you know what you want. That awareness is part of being made in the image of God. He hardwired His moral law into the human heart. Romans 2, 14 and 15 says, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them." That's God's fingerprint on our conscience. Do you remember when you were a kid and you do something you weren't supposed to do? You treated somebody bad, you went and kicked somebody or said something you weren't. So what'd your mom and daddy say to you? Would you want them to do that to you? I say that to my kids. It was said to me, and I have passed that down because, man, it applies. You know the way that you just treated that person, what are they trying to say? You wouldn't want somebody to treat you like that because we innately know how we want to be treated. We must be careful here. I'm not talking about the golden rule being based upon your sinful heart. Because we got that. We got our flesh. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that if you're a person that doesn't mind being lied to, that you should, I'm just going to go lie to everybody else. I don't mind it. I don't mind when people don't tell me the truth, so I just go and I do the same thing that I don't mind them. Or I'm an angry person, and I love talking and hanging around with angry people, so that's why I go and I'm just angry with everybody that I'm around. That's your flesh living that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Holy Spirit, the goodness of God, treatment to other people. The standard is not our fallen human desires. The standard is righteous human dignity that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The golden rule calls you to treat others as you at your best, your redeemed, Spirit-led self desires to be treated. With, here's some words, grace, mercy, patience, and with the dignity inherent to a God-bearer. So why don't we live it? I'm not telling y'all anything y'all don't know. Why don't we live it? Why don't I live it? Sadly, because often I'm more concerned with being treated right than treating others right. I'm real concerned with y'all being good to me. But am I that concerned with being good to y'all? And that's just y'all. We don't need more information today. We need more Spirit-empowered obedience. You already know what mercy feels like. If you're saved today, you know what God's mercy feels like. Now guess what? Did you like it? Feel good? Guess what we're called to do? Give it to other people. What about encouragement? The Holy Spirit ever encourage you? Help you? Pick you up when you're down? Guess what? The Holy Spirit wants us to do to other people. Lift them up. Build them up. Don't kick them while they're down. This week, before reacting to anyone, when you leave today, ask yourself, if I were on the other side of this, how would I want to be treated? And then do it. Y'all are quiet. Okay, we're going to go to the second one. If we want to follow the golden rule more consistently, our second encouragement is, you know when compliance is lacking. You can identify the lack. You know when compliance is lacking. Every one of us is guilty of bad-mouthing the world that we live in. I got a few head nods. I want an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, it's getting worse. Oh, it's awful out there. I don't know where we'll be in a year from now. I wish it was like it was when I was growing up. We're quick to say that and tell everybody how terrible things are, right? Everybody. I think we're all probably guilty. We make these statements, though, for the same reason. You know what that reason is? We recognize a problem. It's inherent. We see it. Something's wrong. Like, this thing is going poorly, right? Every one of us. Our problem isn't ignorance. Our problem can become indifference. We know the rule. We just don't apply it when it costs us our comfort, when it costs us our control, when it costs us our pride. What would truly fix the problem? One preacher wrote this a long time ago. Oh, that all men acted on it, and there would be no slavery, no war, no swearing, no striking, no lying, no robbing, but all would be justice and love. Global strict adherence to the golden rule, I think, would fix the problem. I wouldn't lock my house. You know why? I don't want to go steal from anybody. So I'm going to assume that everybody's going to reciprocate that to me. I'm not going to have to lock my house. I'm not going to. You imagine how many things you wouldn't have to do if people would just treat every other person how they want to be treated. Globally tomorrow, if that happened, if we were able, if every person was able to do that, oh, what a joy. How awesome it would be. You know why the problem continues to exist? Me and my failures. You know who else is guilty? You. We're all guilty. Nobody likes to hear that, but that's just the truth. At least I said me first. I don't know if that helped at all or anything, but it's all due to a lack of Spirit-empowered Christ followers following this command, or most of them. I mean, not all of it. The devil's doing his thing too. Where do we daily exemplify our guilt in this? What about with our words? How y'all doing? The power of the tongue. How sarcastic are we? How quick are we to slander people, to talk bad about other people? Do we like that? Now, I love sarcasm. I do like sarcasm. But, I mean, you know, when I'm being ugly sarcastic, you know, that's not good. How are you doing? How's your speech as you work, as you conduct yourself with other people? Is it like you want to hear? What about your actions? When we ignore a need that we see, when we go and do something against another person that we know good and well they didn't want that and we wouldn't want that either. How are we doing? Lastly, what about with our attitudes? When you're not even approachable, like nobody even wants to come around you, is that what you want? Is that how you want other people? Is that how other people? Is that what you want? everybody to be like that? No, we don't want that. Ironically, we want mercy from God, but we withhold mercy from other people. We want patience from Jesus when we're failing, but we won't give patience to anybody. That's not just mistreating others. That's not glorifying God at all. When we practice selective compassion, which is, I could probably preach a whole sermon on that, we're not just failing a neighbor, we're inviting a wave of guilt, bitterness, and conflict into our own lives. See, I know every single person here knows how to treat somebody like they want to be treated. Because I can spend enough time around you and I'll find somebody you really love. And man, you are good to them. I'm talking about, you know, like your kids. I mean, you'll do anything for them. But so that enables us, that lets us know that we know how to treat people like that. But we're being selective about where we apply it in this life. And that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say apply the golden rule to some and not the others. And when we do that, we're sowing seeds for our own countless sorrows. Before you criticize the world around you this week, how about we all confess our indifference to applying the golden rule consistently each day and every day? Before we start pointing fingers, let's self-evaluate and say, man, am I doing to others as I want them to do unto me all the time? And then ask God to make you the example to the world that you wish existed, that you could look to. Start with you. Start with me. If we want to follow the golden rule more consistently, our third encouragement is you are given an example to follow. I love examples. Don't y'all? You're never going to guess who our example is. Before we move on, I know some of you may be thinking, you're probably not, but maybe. But what if I treat others the way that I want to be treated and they don't treat me the same? Anybody out there thinking about that? Is that an exception to the rule? I just didn't read it. I didn't see that. But that's the way we kind of do, isn't it? I mean, I'm happy to treat you exactly like you want to be treated, but I'm going to get to come on back. Bring it on back, you know? Friends, this is exactly what Jesus did. He loved people who didn't love him back. He served those who betrayed him. He gave mercy to those who mocked him. The golden rule is not about reciprocity, it's about reflection. We don't love to be loved. We love because Jesus first loved us. That's what makes this command divine and not just another moral thing to put into your to-do list. Did Jesus follow this teaching? Yes. He embodied it. He treated people as he desired to be treated before his Father, with love, with mercy, with forgiveness. He was patient with those 12 hard-headed disciples, time and time again. I don't know how. I really don't know how. He defended the adulteress who was caught in sin and was brought right to his feet. You know whose feet he washed before he went to the cross? The very man who betrayed him, Judas. So the answer is yes, Jesus followed his own rule perfectly. Did Jesus treat us as he wanted to be treated? You and me. Jesus carried his cross to Calvary and remained on it until death so that we could believe and have eternal life. That's what Jesus did for us while we were still sinners, as the Bible tells us. Jesus calls you to follow his example of sacrificial love, not to earn his favor, not to get another crown, but to reflect his very image for the world to see. Let's look at what Jesus did because he wants us to do the same for him. Matthew 16:24, Jesus gave a lofty command. He says, or then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to work through the commands that he's given to us this morning, and I'm going to show you how he's already paid it. He's already done exactly what he wanted us to do. Deny yourself. And what that is, here's a little image. It's like you're sitting on the throne. You know, we're all the kings and queens of our lives. You know, we've got our own little throne that we sit upon. Denying yourself means standing up from that throne of your life and putting Jesus on the throne of your life. That's what that means, to deny yourself and to live for him. Philippians 2:6-7 shows us how he did this. Who, although he, Jesus, existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Leaving heaven for you and I. Take up our cross is what he commands. What does that mean? To pierce our unbelieving flesh to a metaphorical cross and die. The unbeliever within us, to pierce it to the cross and it dies. So that we can be resurrected into a new life through belief in Jesus Christ. Luke 23:33, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Jesus did this. He led first. The last command, follow me. What does that mean? Daily live, thinking and acting as Jesus himself lived. That's what it means to follow me. John 5:19. Did Jesus follow God's commands? Did he live for God? Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Jesus perfectly followed the will of the Father. He gave us the example. So when Jesus tells us to follow him, guess what he's wanting us to do? Live exactly as he lived. Follow as he followed. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Jesus went first. Jesus gave his life for us so that we could have eternal life. And what he did that for us, and now for us to do to him is to give our lives to him, believe in him, follow him so that we can have the eternal life that he made possible on the cross. You see? We must give our life to Jesus to obtain that eternal life he made possible. But the good news is Jesus doesn't just tell us what to do, he gives us the heart to do it. A new heart, not made with flesh. When his Spirit rules our heart, the golden rule becomes possible. But apart from him, apart from the Holy Spirit, I venture to say the only time we're going to be following the golden rule is when we have some sort of benefit to follow it for. Have you believed and followed Jesus so that you can live this rule? This morning, you may not have. You may be here, you've never believed, you've never confessed Christ as Lord, and therefore that's why you're struggling, because you don't have the Holy Spirit to help you live the golden rule to reflect the image of Christ. Today, you could believe, confess, have eternal life, have a Spirit-filled life, and be able to follow the golden rule for the right reasons. The path to a life of less regret, less conflict, and less internal turmoil is not complicated. It isn't hidden in a scroll. It's right here. The rule that could spare you countless sorrows is simply treating others the way that you want to be treated. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. If we truly live this verse, and I want you to think about this. If we truly lived it, Spirit-filled, lived this verse out, lived out the golden rule, I think it would transform our homes. I think it would transform this church. I think it would transform our community. I believe that. The golden rule isn't just good advice. It's heaven's culture lived out on earth. I think that's what it's going to be like in heaven. I mean, I don't think we're going to be ugly to one another. I think it's going to be awesome. I think every word is going to be well spoken. I think every action is going to be for the benefit of everybody else. I think it's going to be awesome. Why can't we start doing that now? If we think it's going to be awesome one day, let's live it today. If we could live it out every day, we would be constant reflections of Christ and His love. You see that? That's the real thing. That's the real deal. It's not about getting something from somebody else. When we live out the golden rule, we are perfectly, or not perfectly, but the best that we can, we're reflecting the image of Jesus Christ for other people to see. You know how it is. When you have somebody treat you a good way when you haven't treated them. Y'all all done that? Y'all ever had somebody treat you the way they wanted to be treated even though you treated them ugly? It causes me to stumble. I'm like, why are you being nice to me? I was just being ugly to you, and it makes me want to ask a few questions. That's what we could be doing out there in the world, being that reflection, being the difference, because that ain't the world. The world's going to treat you or you treat them, you know? That ain't what this says. It says to treat them as you want to be treated. If we put ourselves sensitively in another's place, wishing for them what we wish for ourselves, we would never be mean, always generous, never harsh, always understanding, never cruel, always kind. So what's holding us back? I'm going to end with this because I've heard it so many times. Do you know, I was talking to some people who labor on Sundays so that all of us hungry Baptists can go and eat. Y'all know those people? Anybody, y'all aware of them? Do you know who they dread coming in more than anybody else? I've heard this, I'm talking about like a number of times. Out of their mouths. Do you know who they dread coming in? That's it. What? Why are they dreading a church person coming in there over just a normal person? Because of how we treat them. Is that the right thing to do? Is that treating them how we want to be treated? Mm-mm. So I said I want to end on this because I figure some of y'all probably fitting to go eat. And you'll have a place to apply this. I challenge you today to at least start when you go and eat. If y'all go out to eat after this, at least start there. Don't treat that waiter or waitress so poorly that you solidify their stance that they can't stand to see church people come in there. Treat them exactly like you want to be treated and be a reflection of Jesus Christ in that place. And then get some momentum. After you leave there, don't stop. Don't stop. Just keep it going. We can change our community. We can change this world through the power of the Holy Spirit helping us to follow this rule to treat people the way that we want to be treated. If you would, please stand. If you have a need this morning, I just want to encourage you. I'll be down front if I can help you in any way. But let's just worship one last time on this Sunday morning.